Part 5. Quiet Your Mind. Chapter 15. Emptying Your Brain. Takeaway. Externalizing your tasks and writing them down is a powerful way to free up mental space and get organized. Performing a brain dump not only reduces stress and helps you focus, it also motivates you to action. Snowballing ideas. It's hard to imagine, for me at least, but there is a time when books, newspapers, and the like didn't exist, when there wasn't a way to capture and then spread your ideas to other people. With the advent of the printing press around 1440, books became civilization's first foray into externalizing knowledge and information on a large scale, which allowed humanity as a whole to become more productive. We no longer had to walk around carrying our collective knowledge in our heads. Instead, we could externalize it into a vast collection of books and then build upon those ideas to form newer and better ones. There were, of course, those who thought this was a terrible thing, at least at first. Long before the printing press was invented, Socrates was averse to writing, arguing that it would destroy our memories and weaken our minds, even going so far as to argue that it was, quote, inhuman, end quote. It's not uncommon to hear people saying the exact same thing today about Wikipedia and Google. But as powerful as our brains are, the latest neurological research shows that our brains are terrible at consciously processing more than a few thoughts at once. At best, our minds can only consciously hold onto a few ideas at a time, whether those include things we have to get done, emails we're remembering to send, or things we're waiting on. To summarize decades worth of complex neurological research in one sentence, our brains are built for solving problems, connecting dots, and forming new ideas, not for holding on to information that we can simply externalize. Here are a few examples. We can externalize tasks we have to do by putting them on a to-do list so they don't take up valuable space in our short-term memory or make us feel overwhelmed. We can put appointments and meetings in our calendar so we don't have to worry about them, and so we're reminded about them when the time is right. We can externalize things like our shopping list, so we don't forget half of what we need to buy the next time we're at the store, or realizing when we're hunkering down on something important that we forgot to buy cantaloupe. Just as the first books didn't weaken our minds, getting tasks, appointments, and information out of your head won't make your mind empty. It actually does the opposite by giving you more mental bandwidth. It frees up space so your brain can do what it's built for, forming new thoughts, ideas, and connections, and once you capture them all, snowballing them forward. Your mind is an insanely powerful thinking machine, but it's the wrong place to store everything you have to get done because it's simply not built for that purpose. The more you get out of your head, the more clearly you'll think. My first brain dump. The very first productivity book I bought about a decade ago was David Allen's Getting Things Done, GTD. The premise of the book lies on the same principle, that your mind is not the best place to store everything you have to get done. Allen pioneered a system for getting all of your tasks and projects out of your head into an external system, incredibly, before a wealth of research came out over the following decade that validated how powerful getting unresolved open loops outside of your head can be. As David Allen told me, your head is not for holding ideas, it's for having ideas. I can hardly remember what I had for breakfast this morning, let alone the productivity books I read back in high school, but luckily some memories stick with me to this day. My first brain dump was one of them. If you've ever created a to-do list, you're probably familiar with how great it feels to get everything you have to do out of your head. When I first cracked open Getting Things Done, this was one of the first activities David's canonical productivity book got me to do, but taken up several notches. I was in high school at the time, so I didn't have nearly as many responsibilities and commitments as I have now, but per the book's suggestion, I sat down with just a pen and a notepad and listed every single thing that I had to get done that was floating around in my head. I still remember being stunned by how much I had on my plate. During my first brain dump, I captured probably about 100 to-dos, projects I was in the middle of, things that slipped through the cracks that I'd forgotten about, and more, All that I was storing in my head that I hadn't given the time or space to rise to the surface. Anything that was weighing on my mind, even slightly, I detailed in my notepad. As David Allen explains, quote, "The first thing to do is to capture what's got your attention, then decide if it's actionable or not. And if it is, decide what the next action on it is, and do the action right then, if you can," end quote. The feeling I had after was, to put it very mildly, liberating. I felt as though a weight had been lifted from my shoulders. My mind was finally clear. As David writes in his book, quote, "Any would, could, should commitment held only in the psyche creates irrational and unresolvable pressure 24/7. What you need to do is take all of those things and one at a time, discipline yourself and ask yourself, is this something I'm actually going to do something about?" He explains, quote, "If yes, then what's the very next thing you need to do to move that forward? That decision doesn't necessarily show up by itself. You have to think to decide what the next step is, whether it's to surf the web, make a phone call, draft a document on your computer. That granularity, getting it down to the next physical, visible action, is a really powerful thing to do," end quote. This is a result of what Bluma Zeigarnik named the Zeigarnik effect in the late 1920s. Incomplete or interrupted tasks weigh on our mind much more than completed tasks. After emptying my mind of everything that was weighing on it, I came to realize just how true this was as I experienced more space and clarity and felt less stress than I ever had before. My mind felt liberated, though it's worth noting that at this point, I hadn't yet discovered girls, whiskey, or cosmology. Incoming! But not only did David's book guide me to externalize the tasks in my head during that first mind dump, it also taught me how important it was to constantly capture tasks as they came up, especially if I wanted to maintain a clear mind. It's one thing to get every unresolved commitment you have out of your head and onto a task list, but fending off low-return tasks lets you maintain that clear mental space. From then on, whenever I came up with an unrealized idea or thought, I added it in the notepad I carried around with me everywhere I went, which over time evolved into a smartphone. Whenever I thought of something to pick up at the store, I would write it down before the thought escaped me. And if I noticed even the smallest item weighing on my psyche, I would externalize it to create more attentional space for bigger and better things. If that sounds obsessive, that's because it is. But except for meditation, nothing has helped me think more clearly. 10 years later, almost every thought I have is new because I make a note of anything important right away so I can deal with it or build on it later. Anyone can and should do the same. You'll be stunned at how many tasks, projects, and commitments you're keeping up there, and how clear your head will feel once you gather it all in one place. Your brain is much better at focusing on the task at hand when you have a clear mind. The system I love. Of course, merely making a note of the tasks and projects on your plate isn't enough. If you don't do anything with what you've captured afterward, you won't clear up any mental space, because you'll go right back to stressing about what you still have to get done. Over the last decade or so, and especially during my project, I experimented with using dozens of to-do list and task management apps that deal with the tasks and projects I've captured. And although many of them have worked well, there isn't one I'd recommend above the others. In my experience, it doesn't matter how you organize your tasks and projects, as long as you find it helpful and user-friendly. Today, I have a relatively simple way of capturing and organizing everything I have to get done. Throughout the day, as tasks, ideas, and other open loops grab at my attention, I put them in the Notes app of whatever device is in front of me. The Notes app I use syncs between all my devices. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, after I check my email, I go through the notes I've compiled and add them to my to-do list or calendar. My to-do list also couldn't be simpler. It's another note that I've pinned to the top of my list of notes that contains my 3 daily and weekly intentions at the top and my task list underneath. I also maintain a calendar in which I try to schedule as little as possible. After experimenting with every task management app under the sun, the workflow I've fallen into is simple. Since my app syncs my notes between my devices, it's mindlessly easy to collect tasks, thoughts, and ideas whenever and wherever they come to me. When I'm away from my devices, like after my 8 p.m. shutoff ritual, I just carry a small pen and notepad around in my pocket. While the apps and devices I use change frequently, I also often revert back to using paper. Regardless of how I've organized everything, though, my basic workflow of capturing and then organizing the tasks on my plate has stayed the same for years, and the process has become seamless. How to organize it all? Because everyone's way of working is different, I won't recommend a specific organizational tool. It isn't about which method of organizing your tasks is best, but what's best for you. A large percentage of the most productive people I know use a pen and paper, and it's important to not discount this option. But if you're looking for a system, it's worth looking for something similar to what I've settled into, something that's almost invisible to you because it integrates so well with the way you work. It should also let you easily view, manage, and prioritize everything you have to get done so that you can effortlessly pull together ideas, events, tasks, and projects. As I experimented with corralling the open loops from my head, I discovered a number of other things that, in addition to to-dos and calendar events, are worth capturing. Two of these are straight out of Getting Things Done: a waiting for list and project notes. And the rest are ideas I've experimented with myself with a lot of success. Here are the best tools I've discovered to help you organize and deal with all your tasks and projects. A waiting for list. My absolute favorite golden nugget out of Getting Things Done, apart from the power of externalizing what's in your head, is the waiting for list. I like to think of the waiting for list as your to-do list's sexy secret lover. It's pretty much what it sounds like, a list of everything you're waiting on, which, like a to-do list, you review on a regular basis to make sure nothing slips through the cracks. Right now, I can say with near certainty that you're waiting on several things you're simply storing in your head, things that may slip through the cracks if you don't follow up on them. On a given week, my waiting for list contains everything from packages I'm waiting for from Amazon, to important email responses I'm expecting, to money I'm owed, to important calls and letters I'm waiting for. I put pretty much everything on my list. Because I schedule time to review my list 3 times a week, during my project, I also begin to review my waiting for list after I check for new email. Over the last several years, after I settled into a habit of capturing the things I have been waiting for, nothing has slipped through the cracks, and I worry way less about everything I have to manage. Once you capture something, you can immediately stop worrying about it. I also keep my waiting for list in my notes app so everything is in one place, and group the items on the list by their context, like home, things I'm owed, email, phone, etc. Another great way to capture what you're waiting for is after you send important emails that need responses, drag the message into a waiting for folder. This also helps you catch any important email responses that might land in your spam folder. Individual project notes. Keeping separate notes about projects is another golden nugget I love from Getting Things Done. While a simple task, like picking up a few things from the store after work, is a one-off thing, a project is anything that requires more than a few simple steps to complete and has an end or due date. In my Notes app, I also keep a separate note for each project I'm tackling. Right now, I have individual notes for trips I'm planning, speaking engagements I'm prepping for, and even one for writing this book. Every project note contains information about each project that I need to keep in mind to move the projects forward, and, most important, the very next actions I need to take with each project. Having a separate note for each project not only lets me externalize the projects I'm in the middle of, but it also helps me logically plan out the next steps I need to take to move each project forward. The titles of all my project notes start with PRO. So they're all in one place when I scroll through my list of notes in alphabetical order. Every maintenance day, I scan through my list of projects to define their next steps and pull to-dos from them to add to my task list and the intentions I set for the week. Because of this, even though I'm often taking on dozens of projects at one time, I hardly ever think about them because I know that past Chris has taken care of things and captured everything that present Chris and future Chris needs to deal with at the start of every week. A lot of projects take more attention than they do time. For example, if you have to give a 30-minute presentation, even though it's only half an hour, if you're like me, you'll spend hours thinking and worrying about the talk leading up to when you give it. Externalizing your projects helps you get them out of your head so you can move them forward every week, and when you're not planning, focus on what's in front of you. A worry list. One afternoon, between finishing university and starting my year-long productivity project, I had a lot on my mind. Worrying about everything from whether I should accept a full-time job or start AYOP, to what I was going to do for health insurance after graduating, to what my living situation would be like. I created a project note for each decision, with next actions clearly defined, but I still couldn't stop worrying about them. So I externalized the very act of worrying. To reclaim more attentional space, I made a list of everything I was worrying about, most of which I was blowing out of proportion, of course, and scheduled an hour every day to think through everything on the list. If I caught myself worrying about something throughout the day, I reminded myself that I had scheduled time to worry later. And if I started worrying about a new thing during the day, I captured it on the list so I could worry about it later as well. Most of the time, I don't need this list, but if I ever feel like things are spiraling out of my control and want to clear some headspace, I create a list to clear my mind. An inbox review. When you look around, you quickly realize just how many inboxes you have. I define an inbox as any place where you store the expectations other people have of you, such as responding to emails, tweets, Facebook messages, voicemails, LinkedIn invites, physical letters, or any place you store the expectations you have for yourself, such as listening to podcasts, sorting the papers on your desk, or going through research you've bookmarked. I'm a completionist at heart and like to stay on top of messages people send me. But like many people, the number of inboxes I've built up over time is overwhelming. That's why, on maintenance days, I completely review and empty all my inboxes that accumulate items over the course of the week. I also make sure to clear out the ideas and tasks I accumulated over the weekend in my notes app. Potpourri. If you want to dive even deeper into externalizing the open loops in your head, here are a few more of my favorite ways to do so. Notepads everywhere. I love capturing ideas as they come to me, but because I shut my phone off between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m., it's not always possible to capture them on my phone. For that reason, I keep physical notepads everywhere. I keep a shower-proof Aquanotes notepad in the shower for when ideas bubble up in the shower. I keep a notepad on my bedside table with a light-up pen designed to be used by pilots to write down any ideas that come up as I fall asleep or wake up. And when I head out without my phone, I carry around a notepad in my pocket to jot down ideas that come up. Ideas, tasks, and insights only have value when you capture and then act on them. Keeping notepads everywhere has helped me hold on to a ton of them. Simpler passwords. Passwords are a pain to remember. I've solved this two ways. I have a password manager that stores all my passwords and fills them in automatically. I recommend either 1Password or LastPass. I also have a simple system for coming up with new passwords. My password for every website and service is simply the name of the website, but instead of typing the name of the website, I type the letter to the left of each letter of the website on my keyboard. Google turns into FIIFKW, and then tack on a unique series of letters, numbers, and symbols at the end that are the same with every password. So 8S5X8 to make FIIFKW 8S5X8. This makes every password unique, impossible to guess, and best of all, impossible to forget. filing emails. Some things aren't worth keeping in your head, and that includes where you keep archived emails. A recent study by IBM compared email users who stored emails in folders and users who archived emails and searched for them later. On average, it took participants 66.07 seconds to search for an email and 72.87 seconds to find an email in a folder. And these times didn't take into account the time users spent sorting their emails into folders in the first place. It's not worth your time or attention to file and retrieve emails. Search for them instead. Taking productivity too far. Since being inspired by getting things done a decade ago, I found that there is a line that's relatively easy to cross, after which you begin to spend too much time managing and planning what you have to do instead of getting real work done. Working more deliberately is at the heart of productivity, but it's possible to take the idea too far. This is a trap I think a lot of people fall into when they become interested in productivity, and I include myself in this group. From what I've found, the most productive people are the ones who strike a balance between the two extremes, who understand the power of capturing and organizing what they have to get done, but who also don't sacrifice real work in favor of being productive about productivity. Research shows that the simple act of making a to-do list makes you less likely to get work done, because creating a task list simulates getting actual work done, even though it doesn't lead you to accomplish anything. To carve out more attentional space, I think it's crucial that you perform a brain dump of everything on your plate and capture open loops as they grab at your attention throughout the day. But it's also important you're mindful that you don't take things too far. Just because you feel productive doesn't mean you actually are. And this is something to keep in mind as you round up and organize everything on your plate. Getting Things Done sits proudly on my bookshelf to this day, turned to face outward, while only the spines of the other books I've acquired are exposed. I think it speaks volumes that over the last decade, the system has become so integrated into the tapestry of my work and life that I don't notice that I'm practicing it. That being said, I've never adopted it in its entirety. The system is pretty complex, and it's too easy to take it too far. To his credit, David has said many times that the crucial part about the getting things done methodology isn't that you follow it to a T. It's that you externalize and organize everything you have to get done. You can take the parts that work for you and leave the rest. Quote, give yourself a couple of hours and literally grab every single thing that has your attention, he told me. You don't have to go very far. Just start to notice what has your attention. End quote. The pros of externalizing everything on your plate outweigh the cons by a massive margin. But it's important to be mindful that you don't take this tactic or any other tactic in this audiobook to the extreme. Productivity techniques exist to help you work smarter, but they're only useful when you still do the work. The Capture Challenge. Time required. 20 to 30 minutes. Energy and focus required. 9 out of 10. Value. 9 out of 10. Fun. 9.5 out of 10. Wow. What you'll get out of it. Even though it might not look like it on the surface, this is perhaps the most fun and freeing challenge in the audiobook. You'll clear up an incredible amount of attentional space to focus on important things throughout the day and become able to totally invest yourself in your work, feeling much calmer and confident that you're on top of your work and that nothing will slip through the cracks. One of the biggest lessons I learned from my project, especially when it came to making changes to the way I lived and worked, was that the smaller the change I tried to make, the more likely I was to succeed at making it. Smaller changes are also far less intimidating, which makes them more likely to actually stick. This is why so many of these challenges are on the smaller side. Not only does that make you more likely to actually do them, but after you do them, they're more likely to remain and help you become more productive. If you create a workout habit and allow yourself to only work out for 5 minutes a day, you're going to be dying to work out more by the end of the week. This holds particularly true when externalizing the tasks, projects, and other open loops in your head. The value of capturing everything in your mind is immense, but it's also easy to dive in too deep and get discouraged, or dive in too deep and take things too far. My challenge for you is to perform the brain dump ritual, the same ritual that got me hooked on productivity. Shut off all your devices and sit down with only a notepad and a pen. Capture everything in your mind that bubbles up to the surface and grabs at your attention, whether it includes tasks or projects you have to get done, things you're worrying about, things that have slipped through the cracks, or things you're waiting for. Once you write down everything that is drawing your attention, I think you'll want to start managing everything in an external system, if only to make the good feeling last.